Boy, is it ever hot in here. It's like being in Lockport in the summer. I guess the idea was that we're going to chant Hare Krishna. And when we chant Hare Krishna, then we're meant to be in contact with Lord Krishna as well as his associates. It's the nature of spiritual sound vibration, which is different than the kind of sound vibration we're used to. When we talk about sound, we talk about something that's heard. When you write down Hare Krishna on a piece of paper, that's as much sound vibration as when you speak it. It's also, it's shabda. It's not limited to just something that is communicable from the lip to the ear, but it's the spiritual energy or the spiritual potency which manifests itself in what we use as the word shabda, and because it's spiritual, therefore it doesn't have the type of restrictions that we have here in the material world. So when we talk about sound, it's something that you must hear with the ear. And certainly that's also the characteristic of spiritual sound or spiritual sound vibration. On the other hand, it's not just limited to that. Material sound is something that we generally relate to with information, a transmission of information. How are you? And it's communicating a question. Can you open the door and just cool off a little? And Hare Krishna sounds like a name, and that's why people come up with this idea that, well, can't you just sing any name? I would say no, because Hare Krishna is a transcendental sound vibration, and if I say some other name, John, Sam, Harry, then these are material sound. Well, Hari, not necessarily, that resembles a Harry, resembles Hari. But these are material sound and these are spiritual sound, and the difference between the spiritual sound is that it is more than just getting some message across. It actually contains within it a part, or it's empowered with a spiritual potency. And that means that it may represent, in part, the spiritual realm or spiritual energies, or in whole. My Lord Chaitanya says that nam namakari bhavda nija sarva shaktis. So he says nija sarva, that Krishna's holy name has all the spiritual potency. So when you say how are you, how much potency is in that? It transferring some information, and there's nothing within it. When you say Hare Krishna, then we say this sound vibration actually has everything that exists within the spiritual world is compressed within that sound vibration. And that presence is there when you see it on paper, it's there when you hear it within your ear. It also exists, for instance, in the reality of Srila Prabhupada's purports. Prabhupada uses the same words that we use. He also uses, how are you? but because Prabhupada is speaking from the spiritual platform, his how are you is also saturated with spiritual potency, and it has therefore more impact than just a mere question. It, aside from posing the question of how are you, also purifies the heart. It frees it from material contamination. It's liberating, and it brings about a certain series of realizations, spiritual realizations, that devotees can attest to that. They can attest to that from their experience with other spiritual personalities, with Prabhupada, is that they may just say, how are you? And all of a sudden, how are you seems to seem a lot more than just a question, because it's not just a mere inquiry about well-being, but behind it is also the intent. And the intent is coming from the spiritual world to liberate us, to help us, to bring us closer to Krishna, and that in itself comes across. It's a very complex, very detailed. Therefore, in Vedanta Sutra, it says, anavritina shabdhan, is that by shabda actually liberates. So similarly, when we say Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, these are names, but actually within these names, because it's Nija Sarva Shakti, all of the potency of Godhead is there. It's like being in the presence of the Lord. It's like reading all of the Vedas. It's like seeing the spiritual world. It's like hearing all of Krishna's pastimes. It's like understanding all the philosophy, if you know how to connect with the sound. That then becomes the real challenge, is connecting with the Shabda. Because we know that in any type of relationship, and let's call that a relationship, it requires more than just transmission. You have to have reception. So even though someone may be transmitting, if the other person isn't receiving, it isn't working. So there's a radio transmitter, but if you don't have a good receiver, you don't get the message. Same with television, same with anything. All of our modern media, computer communication, and everything that we have, all of it's based on info coming on one side and it's being received on the other. If you're not receiving, or if your receiver is faulty, the whole thing falls apart. For instance, if you do that with a computer, if you got the wrong program, someone sending you a kirtan on one side and it just comes out like a bunch of squiggles on a Word document on the other, if you don't have the right program, because you're not tuned in. So the real issue of Krishna consciousness is to actually get us to receive, be proper recipients. We have ears, and ears are the general instrument, but it's not enough. As I mentioned, it's not just sound, it's not just that you're hearing Hare Krishna and that's it. It requires a change in consciousness, because Shabda works on the level of consciousness, not solely on the level of sound vibration. We use that word, but you have to have the proper consciousness in order to connect with that sound vibration. And the purification of consciousness needs to come about so that there's no obstruction. So when we can actually, without any kind of obstruction, offense, interference, hear Hare Krishna, then Prabhupada describes, we come directly in contact with God. So everyone has that experience when you're preaching to people, then they say, well, you know, if God exists, show him to me. So this is how we show you God. Say Hare Krishna. But you have to say it in a certain way. You have to say it with a purified consciousness, because it's your consciousness that's perceiving. It's not your ear that's perceiving. My tongue is speaking, and that sound's going through this microphone. Well, this microphone isn't hearing anything, although it may be transmitting sound. It's not hearing anything because it's not conscious. The same thing, my ear isn't hearing anything. It's incapable of hearing anything. It's like this microphone. It's just an instrument. I'm hearing, the soul is hearing, but if the soul is impure, if it's contaminated, then it actually can't pick up the real message of Hare Krishna. Then we get in the way, then we're actually interfering with what's going on. So purification of consciousness, and the interesting thing is, all right, well, what do I purify my consciousness with? Well, chant Hare Krishna. In other words, the chanting Hare Krishna is the means, and it's also the end. Even by faulty chanting and hearing, the consciousness becomes purified. And it becomes purified, 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 until at some stage it becomes pure. And then premanjana, charita bhakti vilochanina, then one can actually recognize that there's no difference between Krishna and his name, and the whole spiritual world actually unfolds when one says Hare Krishna, because nija sarva shakti, all the shaktis, all the potencies. There are 18, I think, spiritual potencies of Godhead. All of these are present within the sound vibration, so nothing is held back. It's a wonderful experience. So what we're doing is we're practicing, and we're trying to purify our consciousness in order to be able to perfectly hear and chant the holy name of the Lord. And what do we do when we perfectly hear and chant the holy name of the Lord? Then we continue to do it, because it's both the means and it's also the end. There's nothing more pleasurable. So Rupa Goswami, he expresses the mentality of the perfect chanter. Tunde tundavari ratimbitanali tundavali labdaye karma krodha. He says that if I had millions and millions, I wish I had millions and millions of tongues and millions of ears in order to chant the holy name of the Lord, because I'm not satisfied with just one set of ears and one tongue. Because the chanting of the holy name is such a marvelous thing that it dances, the holy name dances within the courtyard of the heart. It enlivens all of the senses, spiritually empowers all of the senses. That spiritual empowerment we sing in the morning, Ongani Asya Shakalendriya Vrittimanti. In other words, by the potency of the holy name, one can also hear with his ears. You can hear with your eyes, you can hear with your nose, you can hear with your hands, but it's not enough, because when you're enjoying a good thing, especially when that's happening on the spiritual platform, then you want that to expand exponentially, unlimitedly. So that becomes then the experience of the transcendentalists. We're getting an experience in our conditioned state. And for transcendentalists, then their experience is millions and millions of times greater. And the nature of the experience is that it just makes you want to have more and more and more. Anyway, that's the nature of all different types of pleasure. pleasures. So chant a little, although you're already chanting really nicely. And if we keep these things in mind and appreciate the very, very divine nature of the Hare Krishna mantra, despite the fact that we don't have to pay anything for it, that we can take it anywhere, it's not secret, but that doesn't diminish its sanctity. At least understanding in this way, we should see how, what a wonderful thing that it actually is.